MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Chatting with Casey Sprake, you find her, of course, at Anchor. Casey, appreciate the time as always. Eskom, there they were, 300 days of no load shedding. A small stumble early this month when we got some load shedding. I think it was suspended by Sunday morning already. I mean, should we panic and dust off our backup power devices, or can we say that pretty much Eskom, from producing electricity, which is what we want them to do, is broadly on the right track?
Yeah, I don't think it's a point for immediate panic at the moment, Simon. I think it just really, you know, this last bout of load shedding, or rather unexpectedly, just really serves as a reminder that, you know, not all is 100% at Eskom. And I think it's important to remember that the, you know, utility faces a plethora of issues aside from obviously regular maintenance that we just saw. You know, we mustn't forget about the overall debt profile, the direction of the entity, and the fact that there is still a long road ahead. So there's no need to re-gear up all our generators. But again, it just really, I think, serves as an uncomfortable reminder.
It absolutely does. You know, there's a lot of things as a country that we could do that would get our economic outlook looking more positive. One of them is Eskom, and, you know, that ability to serve power, it does give us a glimmer of hope in many senses.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Eskom, you know, remains sort of at the heart of our economic and fiscal challenges, and, you know, for a long time. And any ongoing sort of operational inefficiencies and financial sort of instability and structural sort of vulnerabilities really continue to pose sort of significant risks going ahead. But, you know, that being said, the fact that we have got, you know, sustainable power supply, albeit the sort of blip that we saw at the beginning of February, that allows to sort of run through the economy. We've seen the positive effects that has, not just within our sort of economic output, but just even investor sentiments, you know, both foreign and local within the economy. We've seen that private sector investment starting to climb back into again. And that's just off the base of, you know, having a sort of stable power supply.
And part of that was, I mean, one of them is Kuberg's second unit. I mean, massive refurbishment, extends its life, I think, another 20 years. And that on the only gives us power, it also reminds South Africa that, you know, that Eskom has got competencies, and it brings us, you know, 20 years of more nuclear power from that unit that hopefully will be reliable and stable.
No, 100%. I mean, I ironically actually grew up in the shadow of Kuberg myself. And, you know, that upgrade has been actually part of a very long-term sort of life extension project, you know, aimed at really keeping the plant, as you mentioned, operational for an additional 20 years. And that really involved replacing sort of critical components, and having those units sort of come back online has really helped ensure sort of just general grid stability for us ahead. And having that sort of buffer will help us when we see, you know, sort of inevitable breakdowns of other units, you know, across the country, well, different sort of power units, which will, it will come, and it's inevitable, but that just gives us a buffer to help sustain through that as the rest of the sort of various maintenance projects unravel.
One of the challenges for Eskom is they keep on trying to put through ginormous price increases. NERSA turned around and said, no chance whatsoever. Does that, I mean, they obviously, you know, they wanted 36%, which is ridiculous. They got 12.7, still a giant number. Does this, you mentioned the debt, I mean, does this, and can they work with this number? I mean, how does this work when they want 36 and they get 12.7?
It's difficult to say. I mean, especially from an economic point of view for the South African consumer, this is also a topic that's just quite close to my heart. I mean, this latest tariff adjustment, as you mentioned, of 12.7%, that actually only represents a fraction of the, you know, the 36% increase initially requested. And I mean, the regulator has sanctioned sort of electricity price hikes over the next three financial years. That's worth bearing in mind. We also have 12.7% for now. That'll be followed by 5.36% the next year, and I think another 6% or so thereafter. Yeah. And I mean, it's worth bearing in mind that, again, Eskom had initially sought sort of steeper increases from its sort of what we call the multi-year price determination application, which actually aimed for a cumulative 66% rise over the next 3 years. So these latest sort of tariffs that have actually been approved by NERSA, again, significantly reduced these requests, and it's only 35% of Eskom's approved sort of hikes. And yes, you know, this latest increase will sort of help stem the tide for Eskom. You know, bear in mind, it is still yet another increase for consumers that will help with maintenance and plans. But for us, the longer-term concern is actually more the municipal debt and the general debt profile outstanding of Eskom, which from a fiscal point of view is much more of a sort of structural long-term issues than just the immediate sort of tariff increases.
Yeah, and that is the giant headache for Eskom and truthfully for Treasury and ultimately for us. And you mentioned municipal debt, and that's not going away either. If anything, that continues to grow. That's somewhere where my sense is that, I mean, in theory, Eskom could turn off a municipality, and they certainly do what they call load reduction, but they're not winning that war.
No, definitely not at all. And I think this is an issue that's honestly just not spoken about enough. I mean, at this point, municipal debt is really continuing to rise at a very unsustainable pace. And I think municipal debt owed to Eskom at this point has actually surpassed 100 billion rand. Mm-hmm. And that's really starting to strain the utility's financial position overall. I mean, if we look longer term, the viability of Eskom is going to continue to remain at risk unless we see sort of decisive action being taken to reduce costs and address these municipalities sort of escalating arrears. Even with the sort of relief packages that Eskom's received from the government, without the sort of municipal debt being taken into consideration, we believe Eskom is going to likely require further interim financial support beyond 2026 in order for it to actually return to profitability.
Yeah, and they've had huge bail. I mean, yeah, it's one thing if you're bailing out SAA, you know, it takes an airline out, but Eskom's a bit of a more complicated process. We mentioned we've got Kuba coming back. We've also had a lot of independent power producers coming online. Are we still seeing a lot of interest in that? I mean, I chatted yesterday with Kuba Sluis from Pan African, and they certainly are looking to increase from around 10 to 50% the renewable energy at their mines. Are we still seeing a lot of IPPs?
Yes, no, definitely. We're seeing a sort of good amount of movement there. I mean, to put into context, I think it was 2023. South Africa actually recorded it was an unprecedented amount of imports of renewable energy equipment. I think that amounted to approximately around, I think, $840 million, which I think really sort of highlighted this sort of expanding momentum. And we're seeing that, you know, this sort of follow through throughout the years. It has, of course, slowed down since that pace, since we've seen this infrastructure come online. But I think really these technologies, they are pivotal in diversifying our sort of energy landscape and enhancing sort of grid stability overall. And again, you know, this type of transition, it's not solely driven by just sustainability goals, but it is actually serving a critical intervention in bolstering our energy security. So we believe that will be a trend that we're going to continue to sort of see going forward. And it quite shows well is that the sort of sustained absence of load shedding that we've seen since the second quarter of 2024. It's been driven by both the combination of actually having increased electricity supply from Eskom via this and a material increase in actual consumption, which, you know, goes to show that it is actually working.
Yeah, it was 5 a.m. on the 26th of March. I don't remember that date, but that was when the Eskom app told us that load shedding was suspended and it never came back. well, it did, but it was one of the weirdest things. A last question, and I know my listeners out there are going to shout at me when I say it, but our electricity is, for South African, expensive. In the note that you put out, you quoted some numbers, and it's gone from a little over 1,000 rand in 2014 to, what, over 3,000 a decade later. I mean, that is nothing in my basket has gone up as much as that. But our electricity isn't that expensive by global standards. It doesn't make the pain less, but it's not like we're being completely ripped off as some countries are. Maybe they're not being ripped off, but we're not that expensive.
No, not at all. And that's where it actually gets quite fascinated. So, you know, if we look at sort of average household electricity prices, we actually sit mid-range sort of position, you know, globally. Mm-hmm. We are higher than most sort of developing nations, but we are actually lower than most, you know, developed countries. For example, I think your three highest electricity prices on average for households comes from Italy, Ireland, and Denmark, etc., mm-hmm. most of Europe. The likes of Kenya, and electricity is significantly more than ours, Peru as well, the US, Australia. So again, you know, we're sort of starting to come towards the top end of the emerging market bracket, and to develop is what we'd expect for a country of South Africa's sort of position. But yes, you know, globally, we're actually not that uncompetitive, which is, you know, it feels uncomfortable for most consumers to see that when we see, you know, year after year of tariff increases.
Yeah.
But yeah, globally, we're not that broadly out of context.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right, but numbers don't lie. So we will leave that there. Casey Sprake from Anchor, always appreciate the insights.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.